Ever wish that certain things would go a lot faster? For us here at Brummie Mummies, it's the kids getting their shoes on and out the door so we're not late for school. Or do you wish that some things were a bit more reliable? Like actually being handed the school note to say they need a costume ahead of the day it's due? Well, we can't control the speed of our kids. Luckily for us Brummie Mummies, TalkTalk's Future Fibre is now here in Birmingham. And with speeds up to a whopping 900 megabits per second, it's fast enough to handle anything you throw at it. And it's great TalkTalk value too. Future Fibre might not speed up the school run, but when it comes to downloading our podcast or making sure your work calls don't cut out in the holidays because your son's playing video games or your daughter's streaming TV, ultra-fast and ultra-reliable broadband using the latest technology is just what you need. To find out more, search TalkTalk Future Fibre, subject to local availability. With rising fuel prices, many of us are thinking twice about using the car. But would you be brave enough to ditch your car completely, especially when you've got kids? That's what Ruth Cumming did, and she has four young children. She says that instead of feeling restricted, the family now feel liberated and enjoy working out how they can get from A to B by bike, on foot, or via public transport. Welcome back to Brummie Mummies. My name is Zoe Chamberlain. I'm a journalist, author, and mum. I launched Brummie Mummies as a community for families to help people to connect both online and in person. My goal is to share with you stories from the most inspiring mums and dads to help you find out how they juggle family life and everything that comes with it. Ruth says that she has saved around £1,500 on fuel and car running costs, and that her family is fitter and healthy as a result of it. She has loads of great tips on going car-free, so let's get straight into chatting with Ruth now. So tell me, why did you decide to go car-free with four kids? I mean, you're braver than I am.
Yeah, I mean, we've been kind of what I would call car light for a long time, since even before we had children. So it's not something that we just did overnight. You know, before we lived in Birmingham, we lived in Cambridge, and we did a lot of walking and cycling. And we kind of decided living there that we didn't want to be dependent on the car for things in everyday life. So things like work and shops and, you know, all the stuff that you just do in like everyday life. So we still had a car there. We used it to get out of town because, you know, in town was fine, but getting out was harder. And when we moved to Birmingham, which was about nearly eight years ago, we wanted to try and kind of replicate that lifestyle really here. So we wanted to do walking and cycling as much as possible. And therefore we chose our house based on sort of location to work and shops and school and nursery and things like that. So it's kind of planned over quite a long period of time really. And basically the thing that made us actually say we don't need our car anymore, even for the out of town stuff and the sort of non-daily life stuff, was COVID. So our car sat unused for months on end, you know, in lockdowns, and even when schools were back, obviously we're still just walking to school, and that we'd done a lot more cycling in lockdown and found new routes. The kids were getting older, and we bought a cargo bike, we bought a tandem, and we just decided when the car broke down one day that we didn't want to pay that repair bill. It was going to cost nearly £2,000 to repair. And we thought, actually, maybe this is the point where we just say, we'll spend that £2,000 on something else. And we'll go car free and we'll try. And I think initially we just said, we'll try for a year. And actually, if we do decide in that time that it would be worth either getting another car or, you know, repairing that car, whatever, then we can change our minds. But it's been over a year now, and we haven't needed that. You know, we've coped fine without it, even once lockdowns are eased, and we've obviously been doing more stuff and going more places. So I suppose COVID and the car breaking down and costing a lot of money was the kind of the ignition to actually making that change. But it's been over a long period of time.
And how old were the children at the time when you sold your car?
Yeah, they were 9, 8 and twins were 3. So, that was just over a year ago.
And what was their reaction to no longer having a car?
There wasn't really that much of a strong reaction, I think, because we hadn't used it for so long. You know, obviously COVID had changed our lives completely in many ways. And they hadn't been in it for months on end. And so they weren't really kind of, there wasn't really a reaction. It was like, oh, okay, well, it's gone off the drive. I think the biggest thing was the twins used to like playing driving in the car. So on the drive, I'd let them like sit there and you know, brum the steering wheel, you know, just for like 10 minutes, whatever, if they wanted to play in it. And they missed that. which is a ridiculous thing, just to have this thing sat on your drive as a kind of a toy. But yeah, that was probably the most reaction to, oh, we can't do that anymore.
And I bet you're doubly glad now that you haven't got your car, now that fuel prices are going through the roof.
Yeah, and I think like I haven't really looked at fuel prices like a lot for, as I say, a number of years, because we weren't really dependent on the car. So even when we did fill it up, it was like for a holiday or going away for the weekend or whatever. You just kind of took that as part of the cost of the holiday. But yeah, I spoke to my mum the other day. She was saying that my brother had spent nearly £100 on a tank of fuel. And I was like, really? I'm so glad I don't have to do that. I don't know where I'd find that money.
So how easy is it to get around Birmingham without a car, especially with children?
So I think it depends where you live in Birmingham. So as I say, we chose this house based on location of various things. And I think for us, it's actually very easy. We live very close to the A38 Blue Cycleway, which can help us get into town. It can help us to get to other places in South Birmingham. We live near the 11 bus route. We live near bus routes into town, 61, 63. The X21 will go to my son's secondary school next year. Train station, we're halfway between Selly Oak Station and Bourneville Station, which of course can take you either into town, and then New Street can take you on further places, or out the other way, sort of Bromsgrove Way. And then locally, you know, we have so much within a 15-minute walk. I really like this concept of 15-minute neighbourhood, where the kind of idea is that you have all your sort of daily life stuff within 15 minutes, either walking or cycling. So things like, yeah, if you have kids' schools, nurseries, shops, you know, doctor's surgeries, you know, things like that. All the kind of stuff you need in that sort of daily life. So for us, it's not that hard, but I think it depends where you live. I don't think every location in Birmingham has that amount of transport link.
So what about going further afield, going on holiday or going for days out?
Yeah. So again, as I said, I mentioned trains. We use trains quite a lot. And because we're on the Cross City Line, which goes into New Street, there's a lot of connections across the country from New Street. So this weekend, we've just been to London. Obviously, that's easy on the train. My in-laws live down in Devon, so that's on a direct train route from New Street down to Plymouth. So that's really handy. Rural locations are harder. So what we have found for that is that we are members of a car club called Co-Wheels. And actually, we can't all fit in the car. They don't have a 7-seater. But if we combine it, say, with my parents, they can take two of the kids and we can take two of the kids. Or if it's just me on a day out with the four children, I can fit five of us in the estate car that there is. So we just pay for it on a day or even hourly basis or a week. So at Easter, we're going away with my parents. So we'll hire that car for a week, which is actually really easy. We don't have to have the cost of owning the car to just take it away.
That's
for
a great idea.
I think one thing that not having a car makes you do is kind of think, what's the best tool for the job for this journey? So if it's a, like, you know, walking to school, like, or get to school, okay, actually the best tool for that is walking. Or if it's going to our church, which is like our 20-30 minute cycle away, like, that's the best tool for that job. Or maybe if it's really cold, then we get the bus for that journey. Or, you know, if we're going say to my parents, well, actually the train's really doable for that. And sometimes you take a look at a journey, you go, actually I can't walk that, I can't cycle that, I can't get the bus, I can't get the train, oh well, hire a car. But it's actually made you think, okay, this is the car is the best tool for the job in this case, so I'll use the car club. Whereas I think if you have a car on the drive and you've sunk the money into buying that car on the drive, then every trip you do looks like a car trip because you've already kind of paid for that up front. Whereas if the model of a car club, you're paying for it like you would a bus fare or train fare or whatever, you're treating it like sort of public transport in that way, a bit like a taxi, but you drive it yourself, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I think that's one thing that we've really kind of found since not owning one, is that you treat every journey as a sort of think about what's the best tool to do this job, really.
So does that mean you have to be very organised and plan ahead?
To some extent, yes. And I think that actually if there were more car clubs, and I'm a massive fan of car clubs, I wish Co-Wheels would expand. I think it would solve a lot of people's need to own, even if it was, say, it could replace their second car, you know, I think that'd be great. So you do need to plan quite far ahead for that, you know, because people will book it up and it is quite popular and I think they need more cars. But apart from the car club, I'd say I don't think I'm any particularly more organized than I was before. I don't know. I don't think of myself as a massively organized person. I think in terms of family life anyway, I think there's a lot of juggle and I do think ahead to some extent, but not like weeks ahead. I think, you know, a lot of my brain space is taken up with sorting out four kids every day. And I don't often think, you know, in that moment, that far ahead. I mean, in the holidays a bit more, I guess, because, you know, you've got to plan what we're going to do for that time. But certainly on a Monday to Friday in term time, I don't think I particularly plan that far in advance.
So do you have to rely on the children being well behaved on public transport? I know that would be a fear for me.
Yeah, and I think I would do more things with our older two than I would with the younger two. I think I have to kind of think, okay, so how much can the older two cope with and how much can the younger two cope with us? You know, we took the older two to London at the weekend and I had no issue doing that. I knew they'd be absolutely fine. I think I would have found that harder with the twins just because of the age difference. And, you know, you do have to take entertainment. So when we go down to Devon, that's 3.5 hours on the train. And the twins do cope with that at age four. I just have to take more entertainment for them. You know, pull out this, that and the other. But actually, at least they can get up and walk around. You know, we had some horrific journeys back from Devon in the car when they were toddlers because they didn't want to be strapped into a car seat and they were whinging and whining. And yes, OK, we're in a metal box and people can't hear you. So, you know, that sort of was easier to cope with in some sense. But actually, they're far less likely to whinge and moan on a train than they were in the car. And I do think that having not being in that sort of metal box where people can't hear you does make you more vulnerable to people sort of noticing your parenting and your children. I think actually the worst experience I've had was walking. So one of my four-year-olds, just before Christmas, she was really tired walking back from school and it was like dark, you know, it's mid-December and she was tired and she was having the usual meltdown, you know, everyone knows what it's like with a toddler. And we weren't far from home. I was desperately trying to get her home and, you know, thinking of everything I could coax her this way with, and she was just, you know, screaming. And this woman who was crossing the road with her dog had a go at her and said basically like, oh, you've just frightened my dog. And she's telling this to a four-year-old who's having a meltdown. Oh, and I was like, thanks for that. That's really not helpful. And so actually that's probably my worst experience of someone commenting on the behaviour. And that was just walking down the street. That wasn't public transport. So, you know, I think this can happen anywhere.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. I've not had a bad experience on public transport. I have had a bad experience walking is what I'm trying to say.
So how do you do your grocery shopping?
Okay, so even before we didn't have a car, we did most of our shopping on foot and bike. So we've tried, as I say, with the location of our house, we've tried to make it so that we can do that. My husband works at the university, so not far from where we live, and he comes back from work every day via a shop generally, so little and often. Also, at the weekend, we'll shop locally. We've never really kind of done that big shop thing. Since COVID, we have actually started getting a once a month internet delivery just for like the tins and stuff, just because we kind of didn't want to be going into a shop quite so often. So we started doing that since COVID. And we still do, like, you know, a few times a week to get fresh stuff, like fresh fruit and veg, milk, things like that. But our tins and packets we get once a month as an internet order. We could do that on the cargo bike as well. That we could do that. To be honest, that's just more of a time and kind of using our time wisely and you know, yeah, as I say, not wanting to be in shops more than we need to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. So apart from comments from passers-by as you're walking, what's been the biggest challenges that you've faced?
Ultimately, it's just kind of convincing people that we're not crazy. I think to you know, in a city that is so dominated by cars and car transport, if you're doing something a bit different, you do just have to brave being that that family who are on those bikes or walking those, or you know, being those people on public transport. And like, I mean, obviously other people do it as well, but I think it's, you know, you're going against the grain for a lot of people who live near us. And I think the biggest thing that we're contending with at the moment is bike storage. So I don't know, I think this is where you kind of heard about me, because I was tweeting about our bike storage issue with the council. So we've been refused planning permission for a small low height bike store on our driveway, which of course is now empty because we don't have a car. And we were kind of hoping that, you know, with Birmingham City Council being all trying to encourage people to use active and public transport, that they would be fine with us sticking a bike store on our driveway, but apparently not. So I can't actually say too much more about it at the moment, because we've just submitted an appeal with the help of a very nice law firm. And yes, so I can't really say that much more on that, but it is frustrating that you know, a council who is actively promoting active travel, and we are literally that family who has got rid of our car, which is what they want people to do, who has an empty piece of land that we own in front of our house, and yet they won't let us put a bike store on. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge in terms of the sort of everyday stuff. And obviously, you know, we want somewhere secure to store our bikes. You can't just leave a bike on your drive in the same way as you can a car. You've got to have something to lock it to and not trip over it in your hallway and have kids pulling it over
of
and
course,
stuff.
So, yeah. Yes. So what have been the biggest benefits from going car free?
Primarily, I actually feel it. I feel it's really liberating—a real sort of sense of freedom that we don't have to worry about the admin of the car. We don't have to worry about repairs. We don't have to worry about the cost of it. The money saving. I mean, ultimately, that's why we didn't want to be dependent on a car. I mean, yes, it's nice to say that, or we do it for environmental reasons, and that, of course, is part of it. But we just have never had the budget to have a really new, reliable car. And we've always owned secondhand ones that haven't been that reliable, and we didn't want to be dependent on those. So to now not even have that worry of, is this going to start or is the battery going to go dead or whatever, it's just great. And I think the sort of active travel that we do has always been important to us as well. So neither me nor my husband, or actually any of our kids now, are particularly sporty. I've never really been into like organized sports or sort of doing sports stuff. So I think just to have everyday activities as our exercise, so walking places, cycling places, just really helps, you know, keep us fit and active without even really thinking about it. And I think that is something that we've kind of lost with this, the sort of car domination that's come since since the Second World War, since the 60s. And for us, I feel that's really helpful that we can just build that into our everyday lives. And then obviously the benefits of we're not causing pollution, which at the moment, you know, today it's really high again in Birmingham. It was yesterday. And when you can literally taste the pollution around school, I try not to think about it too much. But it's, yeah, it that does worry me for my children's health. So just to know that we're not kind of adding to that, and obviously the threat of climate change, which isn't again a huge thing that I try not to think about too much. But yeah, it's just nice to know that we're sort of contributing in a small way, very small way. I'm sure everyone else, you know, has their own small ways of contributing.
Absolutely. So how much money do you think you've saved?
Yeah, so I was asking my husband this because he's the guy with the spreadsheet. So he reckons for 2021, we saved about £1,000 to £1,500 compared to what our old car was costing us. And as I say, we never had, you know, a huge budget. We were spending, well, our old car was costing us about £250 a month for over the year. Obviously, it wasn't always £250 a month, but in terms of the insurance, the MOT, the repairs, the petrol, the everything else that goes with the car. So obviously we did spend more money on things like buses and trains, but overall we saved about £1,500.
Yes, that's really good, isn't it? Especially when you consider it's not actually that cheap to buy train tickets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think public transport could be made a lot cheaper, definitely. We have a family rail card, which helps. Yeah, I think local trains aren't too bad. I think they're fairly competitive against the bus, for example. But certainly, yeah, longer distance trains. We're quite lucky with my parents living in Coventry, actually, because you can get like a day tripper, family day tripper. If we go to their house just for a day, it's £12 for all six of us. And we can use any bus, train, tram in the West Midlands for that. But that's really lucky that Coventry is politically in the West Midlands, normally you can't travel that distance on a train for £12 for six people. Yeah, so it just depends where you're going, I think. And yeah, what tickets you can get for that, really.
And does it help that you work from home? Tell me a bit about your business.
Yeah, so actually I do actually work outside the home as well. So I'm a cycling instructor part-time as well. So I go around different schools for that. So obviously I'm cycling around for that. So that part of my job isn't at home, and I do cycle around. But I do think, yeah, obviously working at home is helpful just from a kind of commute time point of view. I think that's the case for anyone. My husband works 2 days at home now and three in the office. And again, obviously he finds it's good to not have to have that commute. Although again, you lose your exercise then. So, you know, I quite like the exercise. Yeah, so my business, my at-home work is sewing. So I sew things like reusable items, so reusable nappies and other baby items, pads, bags, all washable to, you know, from an environmental perspective, and also baby carrying accessories. So I got into baby wearing, my twins particularly, and I sell kind of accessories for that. The most popular one that always people think of when they think of my business is the stay-on booties. So booties that stay on in the sling.
Oh, that's so which is a good idea.
Customers ask me, like, I know a few customers ask me, like, Ruth, please, can you design? So I designed from scratch this design where it's only a bit of elastic inside. It's not rocket science. But they've been really, really popular. And still to this day, I get a lot of orders for those. So I enjoy doing it. I like the creativity. And there are definite benefits to working from home. You know, I set up the business because I wanted to be at home with my kids. I used to work in academic research, which was great. And I loved it from the point of view of the work, but I found it really hard to juggle with a young family. I had two under three with my older two when I left work, just because it would have cost me more in childcare to stay working in academic research and that was at, you know, fairly high level postdoctoral research. So I decided to take some time out and then set up the business because I still wanted to have some income and also just some kind of something for me, something to do that wasn't just being a mum. And I really love being a mum. I really love being a stay-at-home mum. And it's been really good to have some work that fits around. And it's always just fitted around the kids really easily. You know, if I have more time one week, I spend more time. If I have less time another week, I spend less time on the work. And that's fine.
Great to be able to juggle it like that. So how important is it for you that the children are environmentally aware and conscious of their actions?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we think it's important, you know, it's a big part of what we talk about in family life. But I actually think our kids and perhaps others and beyond are actually, I think they are quite savvy on environmental issues. I think it's something that is talked about more than when I was a child, for example. I don't really ever remember talking about environmental issues, whereas, you know, my kids will talk about it you know, quite freely, and obviously some of that probably is influenced from what we're saying at home, just the dinner time chats and stuff. But I think it's important for them, and certainly my eldest is very into, you know, stating his opinions on climate and pollution and things like that. Yeah.
What are the things you do to try to care for the planet?
I'm a vegetarian. I have been for years. I can't really claim that was just an environmental thing. I've never liked meat, but certainly since I've become aware of that being a way to help the environment, I've definitely lowered my dairy. I'm not vegan, but I try and live as much plant-based as I can. The kids certainly aren't. They really love their cheese and milk still, so I'm not going to get them off that anytime soon. But we cook vegetarian at home. They will eat meat if they're out and they have the opportunity, but we only eat veggie at home. We also try and buy as much secondhand stuff as possible, again, from a cost point of view, but also just because, you know, try and think about what we're consuming. I think a friend of mine recently put it as like conscious consumerism, just kind of thinking about purchases and thinking like, okay, do I really need that? If I do need it, where could I get it? Like, yeah, secondhand or recycled or, so things like clothes, me and my husband haven't bought new clothes for a long time. It's just, yeah, secondhand where we can. And hand-me-downs for the kids, you know, friends, clothes swaps, obviously it helps having four kids because they can get passed down. Yes. Four children if they last that long. yeah, and just and like electronics as well, buying things like secondhand phones, secondhand computers. We try and be as low plastic as possible, although I think that is quite expensive. So we're lucky to live near the Clean Kilo, so we try and get some items from there. We can't get everything from there. It'd be too much to buy all our like pasta and rice, but things like pulses, herbs and spices are usually kind of competitive to a supermarket on that. Just try and be as low plastic as possible.
That's great. And would you ever go back to running and owning a car again, do you think?
I think so. We, as I said before, like it was a bit of a, we saw it as a bit of a trial and we kind of thought, well, maybe we would in the future. At this moment in time, I can't envisage us doing it. I just think our circumstances at the moment, I don't see why we need it. If we had a change in circumstances for whatever reason, I wouldn't rule it out. And I think if in future, the price of electric cars comes down and they start having secondhand ones, and if we felt we needed it, then there may be a chance of that, but I just don't see at the moment why we would. But at the moment, the benefits of not owning one definitely outweigh the disadvantages.
Great. Well, we have a series of questions that we ask all of our guests, so I'm going to ask them of you now, if that's okay.
Okay.
So what would be the two things you would tell your 18-year-old self if you had the chance?
I think the first one would be, there's more to life than work. So I was a bit of a workaholic at school and university. Whereas I think since I've had kids, I've learned that actually there's more to life. And although, I do still work hard on my business, I think I've learned to sort of have that juggle between life and work a bit more. So that's the first thing. And I think the second thing is, don't be afraid to be different. I've definitely learned, obviously, what we've been talking about today, that I am different. I am choosing differently to a lot of people who are in my circumstances and or similar. And I don't think my 18-year-old self would have been brave enough to do that. I think I cared much more about what people thought I should be doing. Don't be afraid to be different.
And what are the three things you love to do every day? What gives you a great routine, start and end to the day?
I think the main thing for me is always getting out of the house into the fresh air. And whether that, in everyday life, that tends to come naturally just because we do walk and cycle in everyday life. But even on days where, if we don't have the same routine of school or whatever, just to get out, walk, cycle in the fresh air, I always need that. I can't stay at home all day unless I'm severely ill. And I think also, the routine of always eating and drinking like proper meals. I think it's really important to us as a family to have as much family meal time as possible. So we always have like dinner together. I sit and have lunch with the kids if they're around or at school. So I think that's really important. I do enjoy that eating and drinking. and I think having four kids, it's quite hard, but just trying to spend a little bit of time each day one-on-one, even if it's just a few minutes. And actually now the older two are a bit older, it's easier. So for example, on Thursdays, I'll walk my eldest child to Scouts, and having that time, even though it's like a 15-minute walk, whatever, just to have that time with him. Try and just spend a little bit of one-to-one, which is hard. Morning, I can't not have breakfast. So just really making sure that sets me up for the day. Definitely have to have coffee and a good breakfast before we leave. And end of the day, I think it's always important to spend time with my husband. So that tends to be when we have that time together, just that last thing. And our eldest doesn't go to bed until sort of the same time as us now, really. But just to make sure I have that time carved out.
Yeah, that's really important. I love that with such a big family as well, that you carve out time, individual time. It does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone thinking of going car free?
I think take it slowly, one step at a time. As I've said, this wasn't something that we just did overnight. I think it requires a lot of planning, a lot of thinking about lifestyle choices, what you need or don't need to do. I think work out, say, the easiest journeys first and think, okay, so which journeys could I do differently? Work on those first, then maybe the slightly harder ones, take them next. And I think, it doesn't have to be like black or white. As I say, we still use cars. We still use hire cars. I'm not anti-car. I think they're a really important tool. So it's not like it has to be all or nothing. I think it's just about thinking for each journey, okay, what's the best tool for the job? Could I do this particular journey by walking, cycling, public transport, whatever that might be for you? And I think, as I said, like lifestyle choices. So like, you know, we've always planned to like only do things that are within our sort of reach. And, you know, so with kids, like planning, things like activities and stuff, we'll always look for stuff that's closest to home rather than thinking, oh yeah, there's that really great club over, you know, other side of town or whatever. I think you do just have to make some choices and really kind of think about what you need and don't need to do, what is necessary, what is absolutely necessary and what isn't. And obviously our kids still do lots of stuff. I'm not saying we deprive them of that, but I think it's just kind of thinking like how best to fit everyone's needs in around, how to get there, if that makes sense. Just take it slowly.
Looking at what's practical.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that'll be different for everyone. I can't tell people what's going to work for them because they're not me. But yeah, just sort of take it one step at a time.
Oh, that's brilliant advice. Thank you so much, Ruth. It's been great to talk to you today. You can discover more of Ruth's tips on our Brummie Mummies Facebook page and on the Birmingham Live website. And find out more on her blog, mixedbagofallsorts.co.uk. This is a Laudable production brought to you by Brummie Mummies and Birmingham Live. Be sure to follow our Brummie Mummies Facebook page for lots more family information. And whilst there, sign up for our free newsletter to make sure you never miss an episode. See you next time. Today's episode of Brummie Mummies has been powered by TalkTalk's Future Fibre, which is up to 23 times faster than standard broadband, proving that some things are better faster. Future Fibre is now available in Birmingham. To find out more, search TalkTalk Future Fibre, subject to local availability.